We're going to kick it off with a conversation about Trump's, quote, deal regarding Iran. And with me for this and other conversations is Jeffrey Weiss. He's the poli-sci prof at Des Moines Area Community College. He's on the show a lot because he has a lot of good ideas. Jeffrey, you better have good ideas today. Don't let me down.
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay. So you've been following what's going on in Iran. I didn't even know where to start. So many questions. Okay, Trump's talking about a deal. How different, or how does Trump's, quote, deal compare to the one that Obama and company negotiated that he canceled, the Iran nuclear deal from way back when? That, you know, it seems to me like that, quote, deal made a lot of sense compared to some. And yet, you know, again, Trump cancels it. Now he wants to do a deal with Iran that doesn't accomplish anywhere near as much as that deal did. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and we don't know if there will be a deal. I mean, we hope that something will take place so that the war comes to a close. But I guess I'd start out by saying for years when there was discussion of war against Iran, the question was, would Iran close the Strait of Hormuz? And this time they did it. And so Iran understands that just with missiles, drones, boats, and mines, four simple things, they can shut down the global economy to some extent, or at least make life painful for people around the world. Iran doesn't need to make a deal. Time is on their side because
why is time on your side?
Pain that they can inflict on the president, the better deal that they'll get.
Wait, they're not inflicting any pain on the president. They're inflicting pain on the Americans who buy gas or food, all these other things that have gone up in price because of this war in Iran.
Yeah, and even more so for people around the world. But
sure.
What
yes,
the president is concerned about is his own political survival and the survival of his political party for the midterms. So the closer that we get to the midterms, what most economists are saying is that we haven't seen the worst of this. If it continues by July, you're going to see inflation that is going to increase by 1, 2, 3%, and the pain will even be greater.
So you're saying if the war in Iran continues?
Yes, or even the status quo. Even the status quo. The administration is desperate to change the status quo because what they tried to impose is a blockade on a blockade, and that hasn't worked. And the real difficult thing with the negotiations is that what the United States wants immediately is some nuclear deal, what you ask in your question. But Iran wants that to be the last deal made because they understand that if that deal is made, the United States can go back on all the other deals they make about the Strait of Hormuz, about, you know, their missile program, all of these particular things.
Wait, the U.S. government going back on a deal that's been made? That's never happened before, Jeffrey.
Well, you know...
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kidding, of course.
No, and really, whatever deal, if it happens, will not be nearly as good as what the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action was, which took 17 months JCPOA.
That was Obama's deal.
Absolutely,
right.
which essentially sent the uranium, I mean, sent nuclear material to Russia. Only 3% grade. Right now, Iran is allegedly up to 50 or 60% grade.
So you're saying, hold on, any interest in saying a long name, the Obama deal. how do you rate that in terms of its success at limiting Iran's nuclear weapons expansion?
It was extraordinarily successful. And the IAEA said that it was successful. International Atomic Energy Agency,
right,
of the United Nations. The five members of the Security Council plus Germany that signed up for this deal and monitored this deal said it was successful. And really, the Trump administration cannot hope to get, I don't know, anything close to that deal in their wildest dreams, because Iran holds... I guess we call it the Trump card, which is the Strait of Hormuz.
Cute.
You know, and the pain in terms of the global economy is being felt, you know, mostly by South Asia. You know, people in India, people in Somalia.
Well, in the U.S. as well, but more acutely in those countries.
Absolutely, yeah. because it's affected food, access to food, you know, and access to a lot of the necessities of life.
Take me, if you can do this, take us back a little walk through history here. Why did Trump back in, was it 2017, I guess, why did he insist on canceling the agreement between Iran and the
yeah.
U.S.
Well, regarding well, nuclear I mean, weapons? Israel and the Israeli lobby always hated that deal. As all of us know, the government of Israel has a disproportionate influence on U.S. foreign policy and U.S. domestic policy, although that influence is waning, especially amongst the Democratic Party, where if you get money from pro-Israeli lobbies, it can be a death knell.
And it's been the opposite until recently.
Right.
I mean, I have my own little experience with AIPAC mm-hmm. when I ran for Congress, but there are, you know, pro-peace members of Congress, not anti-Israel, but
right.
but who want to see equality and fairness and justice for the Palestinian people, and they get primaried with a lot of help from AIPAC money, and they lose. And
yeah.
even Jewish members of Congress.
Yep, and an extremely high percentage of Jewish Americans who are now, you know, who are really not comfortable with the violations of the Genocide Convention that are ongoing in Gaza. So, but when it comes to foreign policy, you know, this is the first president that decided to, you know, in part, you know, answer to, in this case, Netanyahu, and start this war, and now he's now the administration finds itself in a no-win situation.
So let me back up. You think that President Trump initiated military engagement with Iran specifically because Netanyahu, Israel's president, wanted him to do so?
You know, according to reporting from the New York Times and of other, I think, good reporting, it's clear that it had a huge effect. I mean, yeah, that it did have
the deciding factor.
Perhaps.
And
it's hard to get inside of his head.
And Netanyahu's interest in seeing the U.S. at war with Iran is?
Israel's goal is to create, if they can, the facts on the ground in Iran to have a civil war. I mean, they've tried to arm the minorities in Iran. It hasn't worked because, you know, it's a country of 93 million, but more than 60 million are Persians. They have a 4,000-year civilization. They're throughout the country. And so Israel is interested in having a larger regional hegemony in the region itself, whereas, you know, the United States is interested in oil and resources and economics. But also the United States has always been interested in having an alliance with the only country in the region that has nuclear weapons, which is Israel.
And just saying that destabilizing Iran helps the radical elements that currently control the Israeli government.
That's their assessment. I'm not here to say that it's rational or logical. It's just
right.
It's just that is what they're also trying to do in Lebanon. They're trying to create a civil war.
What they've done in Gaza.
And
yeah, in the West Bank.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're, you know, violations mm-hmm. of the Genocide Convention in Gaza and you know, ethnic cleansing in the West Bank. But
and is the concern that Iran is actively working to prevent Israel's expansion?
Yes, and also that Iran supports and has supported Hezbollah.
They've for that reason,
Hamas
though.
At time. Yeah, and the Houthi rebels.
I'm not condoning that
sure.
either.
Yeah, yeah, and really the other thing about the Strait of Hormuz now is, it is possible that the Houthi rebels could make things real difficult in the Red Sea for shipping. It is also possible, we've been hearing reports, that some of the underground cables in the Persian Gulf could be destroyed.
Underground cables that carry what?
Oil.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And
pipes?
And, well, you can call them cables or pipes. I'm not sure
More like a power
line
of some
yeah,
sort.
What, you know, maybe that's not the proper technology. I guess I'm just envisioning it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big, thick pipe. And I don't know why I'm calling it a cable.
Call it a pipe.
I'll call it a pipe. But And really what Iran is saying over and over now is that if the war is resumed, the war will be not just, missiles will not just fly on Israel, the long range ones they still have. They won't just fly on the Gulf countries, but the war is going to take place outside of these regions, which I think is a pretty clear indicator that Iran, which is a country that is facing two countries with nuclear weapons, two countries with genocidal, you know, intentions in terms of, we know what Israel has said and done. We also know that the President of the United States has threatened to destroy a country and a civilization of at least the Persians, 60 to 70 million people, but a country of 90 million, he's inferred that he could, you know, destroy all of them. That's a lot of people.
This is blowhard, you know.
Well, but if you're Iran and this is considered to be an existential threat, and so, you know, one hopes that the war doesn't resume because it could take us to places that nobody would be comfortable with, let alone the polls that show that the overwhelming majority of the United States citizens never wanted this war in the first place, right, which is rare. Oftentimes, even if presidents have to lie their way into war, like weapons of mass destruction in March 2003 invading Iraq, you still at the beginning have some support. There's very, very little support amongst the U.S. citizenry for war. In fact, citizens are tired of our war economy, our perpetual war, our empire military bases.
Why the Trump administration is trying to find a way out of this quagmire that they created.
That's true.
And one quick look at within Iran, just prior to our launching an attack on them, there was a significant civilian uprising against the tyrannical government. I mean, again,
yeah, and that has been weakened severely because the current Ayatollah is
the son of the one that we killed.
Absolutely, he comes from the Revolutionary Guard, and even though he was injured in the bombing which killed the supreme leader, now predictably the Revolutionary Guard is in power, and so as Iran develops, if it can be inducted more into the global economy, it may become a little less of a theocracy and a little bit more of a country that's run by the Revolutionary Guards, and they're going to be much more difficult to deal with. So what the United States has done and Israel is they have assassinated the pragmatic leaders in the country, the people who they could deal with, and also the people who held out not wanting a nuclear weapon. The former Ayatollah issued a fatwa, and they have now put into power people who are not only more likely to suppress the population, but more likely to move towards centrifuges and create a nuclear weapon.
So let's assume that Trump is able to, put together some kind of agreement that ends the war in Iran, that keeps the Strait of Hormuz open, keeps the oil flowing, which has its own problems. Let's say he's able to do that in the next couple months or even less. Will that affect the... Will that affect his popularity in the polls and the potential, outcome of the November election?
Yeah, I don't think it'll make a big difference because it's going to take a while for the, global supply of oil to, move through the Hormuz, through the straits to take oil prices down. And I don't think it'll make a lot of difference. I mean, his base is his base. I mean, I think he was correct in saying, I could go out onto a street and shoot people dead, and
Fifth Avenue still, specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And his attorney William Consovoy, argued that during his first term that a president has the power to go outside of the White House and shoot somebody dead, and they can't be indicted. I mean, he argued that in a federal district court.
That's
so
crazy.
At least the message is consistent.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. Lots of possibilities here, but clearly, this war is not popular with the American people. It's certainly not popular with the rest of the world. Something has to bring it to a close. And when it is finally done, it's probably not going to be a better situation than we had before the invasion. It's certainly not a better situation than what was negotiated during the Obama administration.
Yeah, and much, much better for the government of Iran, which has been strengthened markedly.
Yeah.